here in pieces, and you're having to lose the Scrambia!
It's a dark time for the Podosphere. Marshal Latham, striking from a hidden base, has won his first victory since forming the Journey Into podcast. During the battle, he managed to steal Rish Outfield away from the Doomsteef podcast, forming an alliance between them based on their love for Star Wars. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Marshal and Rish believe they have something interesting to say about the decades-old franchise, its characters, the players behind the scenes, and the new adventures to come. Clearly, they must be suffering from delusions of grandeur.
I'm out of it for a little while. Everybody gets delusions of grandeur.
Welcome to another episode of Delusions of Grandeur. I am Marshall Latham.
And this is Rish Outfield.
It's been a while since we talked to you, so we figured it was time to talk more Star Wars. How's it been going with you, Rish?
It's been pretty busy, I imagine. For you, too. You have 19 kids?
Yeah, 19 minus 15.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Math is not my strong suit. So I'm going to say like 8 or 9 kids.
Four kids. So it gets pretty busy, for sure. Have you had any Star Wars experiences lately?
Star Wars experiences. My cousin he's a collector of these expensive Japanese toys. The company is called Figure Arts, only it's spelled in a weird way because it's English. And they just announced they were going to start making Star Wars figures. And so each one cost like $70. But he showed me this Darth Vader that is really, really neat. And it's 6-inch scale. And I told him, oh, I want one of those. Before I realized that they were like $70, I said, oh, I want one of those. So now I have to find some way to get enough money to pay him back because he ordered me one from Japan. Yeah, sometime we ought to do an episode where we talk about the Star Wars toys that we had as kids. Probably not this episode, but I never spent $60 on a Star Wars toy. I'll admit that.
Yeah, my wife one year, I can't remember how much it was, but she bought me a remote control R2-D2. It's voice activated. So I got that gift, probably 10 years ago. That's probably the most expensive Star Wars toy or item that I have, but
how big is that R2?
It's probably about 2 feet high.
Oh, really? That big?
Yeah, and you can talk to it and ask it questions, and it does noises, and you can tell it to go forward and turn and that kind of thing. I haven't actually put it down on the floor and played with it for a while, but it sits up on my desk. Yeah, it's a pretty cool little toy. Or collector's item, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's neat. I'm sure in just a few months, the stores are going to be flooded with new Star Wars product. Yeah, to go back to what we did the last episode, I don't know if we want to pay attention to those things, just in case there are spoilers there. It's like, ooh, Han Solo with removable head.
Yeah, that might not be good.
But that new Star Wars movie is less than a year away. And I imagine every month from now on, they will release a little bit of information, whether it's the character names or stills or, you know, little tidbits and stuff to keep us all excited. Yeah, I think Star Wars and Avengers are probably going to be the two big movies to beat this year. And
yeah, for sure. You know, it's this year or it's here. It's almost upon us. Have you still been keeping up with the Rebels cartoon?
You know, I've still got them recorded, but I haven't watched a single one this year. I've just got too much stuff going on.
Yeah, they are playing replays of that on the regular Disney Channel, so I was able to catch up on a few of those. But along with that, I also finished watching the complete 6 seasons of the Clone Wars.
Now, did you do that because you wanted to do that, or did you do that so we would have something to talk about?
It started out just because I was interested. You know, when it first came on Netflix and they were all available, I started watching them. And then I kind of stopped for a while. And then when we started this podcast, I thought, oh, maybe I should check out that more so we can talk about it. And I just kept watching every now and then. And I finally got through the whole thing.
Okay, well, hey, let's talk about it then. You say there were 6 seasons? Were they full seasons? Because I remember that last season was much shorter than they intended it to be, right?
It was. Yeah, they did 5 seasons, and then they essentially canceled the show. It was on the Cartoon Network, and they canceled it, and a lot of people were disappointed. It kind of left with a little bit of a cliffhanger with Ahsoka, but then they really didn't resolve any of that during the 6th season. But when Netflix took it over, I guess they had enough put together and enough ideas to finish off a 6th season. And then they released the entire 6th season and then everything else on Netflix at the same time. Let me see how many episodes was in season 6. Yeah, so there were 13 episodes in season 6. Most of the other ones had 20 or 21 or around there. But have you seen any of the episodes throughout the years?
I haven't. I saw most of one episode in the 1st season, and I always thought I picked the best one because it was the one where Obi-Wan was forced to team up with Count Dooku. And I just love that idea anytime in a show when the bad guy and the good guy are forced to team up to fight some, you know, greater evil.
Right.
But no, I never really got into the show. I never had, I guess it was Cartoon Network that it was on.
Yeah, it was originally.
Yeah, part of it is just the prequels characters don't grab me. I'm not emotionally invested in those characters the way I am with the original trilogy characters. And
yeah, yeah.
The people I've talked to say, well, you learn to love these guys. You learn to really feel that Obi-Wan and Anakin are friends. And, you know, you see the potential that that Anakin had, and you just, oh, you dread the fact that he's going to turn to the dark side eventually. And you know, that's what should have happened in the prequels as well. And so, yeah, I think if I sat down and watched the show, I would have a new respect and maybe even a new love for all of these characters. Did you find that that was the case?
I'd say yes and no. You know, the characters that I liked from the prequels, you know, like Obi-Wan, of course, he's from the original trilogy as well, but older in a different capacity. So I really enjoyed everything Obi-Wan, as I usually do. But, and I did like Anakin more in the Clone Wars than I did throughout the prequels. But I still wasn't as interested in him and his development as I was in Ahsoka.
Ahsoka Tano is she's the young Padawan alien girl that Anakin is training, right?
Yes. She became his Padawan in the movie of Clone Wars that they did. And then she's his Padawan all throughout the series. And she's an interesting character. And it was neat to see her learn from Anakin, you know, both the good things as well as his recklessness and things like that. And try to put those together. And by the end of the series, the end of season 5, I mean, she's a fully realized, she's her own person. Really fills out as a character throughout that whole series. And so I really, really enjoyed seeing that. There was other characters I guess getting back to character, I still didn't really like Count Dooku that much. He was a little bit more interesting throughout this series. General Grievous, I guess, to some extent. But, you know, they're still just kind of, I never I didn't grow to love those characters like I would, you know, somebody like Darth Vader or something from the original series. It sounds like I didn't like it, but for the most part, I did enjoy Clone Wars. I thought they did a lot of cool things. It was neat to see some of the other Jedi masters and get to know them, like Plo Koon. I thought was an interesting character, even though I wish he would have had more screen time, more episodes. There were some, like Kit Fisto, who I wish I would have seen more of. They did quite a bit with Lumara. And is it Lumara?
Sorry, is which character?
Jedi Master Lumara. Is that? I'm looking here to see if...
Well, what do they look like?
She looks mostly human, but she kind of has like tattoos on her chin, darker skin.
Is that like Barriss Offee?
Or Luminara.
Oh, Luminara Unduli.
Yes. She's in there quite a bit. Her Padawan and Ahsoka become friends throughout the series, so they kind of come in and out. There are some new characters that they introduce. There's a bounty hunter named Cad Bane.
He's the one with like the cowboy hat, and he's got blue skin, right?
Yeah. He has blue skin, red eyes. You see them out of one of the species out of the cantina scene, and he has like the long Clint Eastwood cowboy hat, and he kind of has that vibe too, that kind of a Clint Eastwood vibe. And at first, when he first came on, I thought, oh, they're trying too hard to make us like this character, or that he's really cool. But as he continued to come back, I really did find him pretty cool and liked seeing him and what he could do. He could hold his own against the Jedi on several occasions, just with a blaster, and he had some little jet shoes kind of thing. His thing was, like most good bad guys that you like, I mean, he really planned everything out and thought everything out ahead of time and had, you know, executed the plan and could be a kind of, there were several heist type episodes with him involved in it, which was always fun. So I did grow to like him as a character.
Well, the one I remember being most prominent when the show first started was the bald-headed Sith chick.
Ventress.
Asajj Ventress, yeah. Does she stick around the whole series, or do they kill her off?
No, she does stick around the whole series. She kind of comes in and out. You know, at first, yeah, she was pretty involved. Of course, she was kind of always under Count Dooku to begin with. But there's a really interesting series of episodes where the Emperor Palpatine, can see that she's growing strong and the Count Dooku is grooming her, you know, to be powerful, and, you know, probably seeing that Dooku would want to take over Palpatine or defeat Palpatine and take over being the Sith Lord. And so he commands Count Dooku to kill her off. And so Count Dooku tries, but doesn't quite do it. And then she comes back for revenge, and she's kind of on her own for the rest of the series. She's kind of from a civilization of they're kind of like witches. Dathomir, I think, is the planet that they're on, the same planet that Darth Maul comes from. But she works with her sisters, and there's this mother witch kind of person that is pretty powerful, and they try to go after Dooku and that. It's that part of it was pretty interesting. At first, I kind of, again, thought she was a character where they were trying too hard to come up with another villain. But over time, I really, especially when she was on her own and trying to seek revenge or whatnot, she even became a bounty hunter for a while and plays pretty prominently, actually, toward the end of season 5 in a really good way. So I liked her as a character.
Well, you mentioned Darth Maul. I know that they came up with a brother who had like yellow skin.
Yes.
I want to say Savage Opress or something like that.
Savage Opress, yeah. Ventress and her mother kind of selected him out of all the men on Dathomir. He had to prove himself. They kind of had a contest with several of the men on Dathomir, and he was the winner. And then they gave him these powers and kind of changed his personality a little bit. He was actually a pretty nice guy, I guess, and just when he became powerful, his personality became more dark as well. And then she tried to get him to be the new apprentice to Count Dooku, but in league with her to destroy him, kind of thing. And then he goes off on his own as well. And then, as you probably know, later on, he gets some word from the Mother Witch character and goes off to find his brother. And that ends up being Darth Maul, who didn't actually die and had suffered many years or whatever. And when he first came back, he had kind of like spidery robot legs.
Yeah.
And he's pretty insane due to all of his years of suffering or whatever. But the only thing that kept him alive, of course, was that he wanted to kill Obi-Wan Kenobi. The kind of thing. So I don't know. I didn't really like that, the way that they did that. But I think it might have even gone into the sixth season. But in the last season, they had a series of episodes with Savage and Darth Maul, and a really cool battle with those two against Emperor Palpatine, which the only time in the movies that we've seen Palpatine in action is his fight with Yoda. Well, I guess his fight with Mace Windu, which wasn't that powerful, but then his fight against Yoda in Revenge of the Sith. But seeing him on in the Clone Wars was pretty... He was a pretty cool character to watch, to see his fighting style and that kind of thing. Because even in the whole series, you just kind of saw him as the puppet master behind the scenes. You didn't really see him in action. But that last... series of episodes where he went up against Darth Maul again. And...
But the show was intended to go on, and then it just gets cut off, right? So did they have time to do like the final episode? Or it's just, oh, whatever we had done is done, and you're kind of left wanting or at the very end? How does that feel?
So the last season starts out, I guess as the series goes on, you get to learn all these different types of clones and their different personalities and who they are. There's like Rex and Tup and Fives, and they kind of develop their own personalities, and you can kind of pick them out from all the other clones. But there was a really cool series of episodes in the last season where, of course, by then all the movies were done, so we knew about Order 66. Where the troopers go against the Jedi. But there's this one episode where one of the clone troopers hit the chip in his head that gives him the order 66, gets fried or something happens to him. And so he actually kills one of the Jedi masters and tries to kill other Jedis, and they capture him and send him to be observed or whatever, and one of his other clone officers that's really close to him starts to put these pieces together and find out just how the clones were put together, and all the stuff about Sifo Dyas and all that stuff kind of comes out of that. So it was kind of a neat look back at, hey, we know what was going on with these clones, and did they ever know, kind of thing. And you see the Jedi almost get close to figuring it out themselves or learning about it. But then, of course, they don't, because that's not the way it turned out. So you have that in the last season, which was a good series. And then they have some other stuff that was okay. But it was a really interesting, the last series of episodes, I think it's like the last five, it's all Yoda. Kind of goes behind the scenes from all the other Jedi Masters. And he's trying to figure out more about Sifo Dyas, what's going on with the Jedi Order and all this stuff. And he goes kind of off on this quest. You'll like this one, or maybe not. But he starts hearing the voice of Qui-Gon Jinn telling him that there's more to the Force that he needs to learn. So I know you've talked about in Revenge of the Sith, where he just all of a sudden says, oh, by the way, Obi-Wan, you can learn how to talk to Qui-Gon Jinn, you know, who's come back from the dead kind of thing.
Yeah, that's something I really felt like, whoa, we needed that, you guys. Wait. But did Liam Neeson actually come back and be Qui-Gon in that?
Only as a voice. It was his voice.
Well, I mean, it's a cartoon. Of course, it's only going to be his voice. But they got Liam Neeson to come back. That's the important thing.
Yeah, they did. But we really didn't see him show up as like, you know, with the blue, as a blue ghost kind of thing. But we heard him talking to Yoda. And Yoda goes to Dagobah and goes into the cave and learns things in there about the Force. And then he ends up going to this planet that they say it's in the heart of the galaxy, but he learns about these, I guess, the sages of the Force. So it's, you know, he has to go through these trials to see if he's worthy to learn these things. And then once he does, he goes to back on the home world of the Sith, I guess. I can't remember what the name of that planet was. But anyway, he goes back and he has visions and kind of sees the future of what's to come and what's going to happen. So he knows generally what's going to happen. He doesn't know all the details, but he knows that the Jedi Order is going to face hard times, but that there will be a hope for the future kind of thing. And so it's just kind of a glimpse into the original trilogy from the Clone War. So that was kind of neat to see. You know, you could see him trying to close the gap a little bit there.
Well, that's cool, but they didn't tie up all the loose ends, right? I mean, like Ahsoka Tano is still out there.
Yeah, she's still out there. We don't know where she is. She, again, spoilers, but she did end up leaving the Jedi Order because she was accused of murdering somebody. It was, you know, it was all Palpatine behind the scenes, whatever kind of thing. But the Jedi Order and the Jedi Masters really didn't stand behind her, and she felt kind of betrayed. And so even though she was proven innocent, she decided to leave the Jedi Order and go out on her own. And that was the last season of season 5, and we didn't hear anything else from her after that. So,
well, it's possible we'll see her in Rebels then.
That would be cool. Yeah, I'd like to see her again.
Now, I just a million questions pop up. I was arguing with my cousin about the Hobbit trilogy of films the other day, and how you can possibly separate all of these dwarves. There's just too many dwarves, and so few of them seem to be characters. But that reminds me of, I mean, how is it that all of these clones, how do you tell them apart, and how do they have distinctive personalities? And how, you're like, oh, I really like that one, and oh, that one's not so much. How did that work?
Well, it's kind of interesting. A lot of it at first, you know, you really didn't know, couldn't tell them apart. But you kind of got to learn, you know, they kind of differentiate a little bit with their haircuts. You know, they'll shave their head a different way or whatever. Or when they put their armor on, you know, one of them has like a blue hand print on his armor. And there's some other distinctive characteristics of the different armor that they wear. And the only ones that you really come to know are, I can't remember what they call them. They're part of the 501st, but they're like the top crew. And there's like five of these elite clones, I guess. They're typically with, you know, Anakin Skywalker. And you kind of get to know them and whatnot. You know, one of them they call Fives because his serial number or whatever his clone designation number is all Fives. And then there's Tuck and Rex and a couple other ones in there. But other than those five, they really don't show a lot of distinction between the clones. But they do some interesting stuff in there. There was one series of episodes which was actually pretty hard to watch. Even though it was R2-D2 and a bunch of other droids that were on a mission with this little tadpole-type creature. It was like four episodes long, and that was really trying to go for the kids in that one. And so it was kind of hard to watch, but they end up on this deserted planet, or not deserted, but sparsely populated planet. And there's this one restaurant or diner kind of place. And the cook there, they realize is a clone, but he doesn't know that he's a clone. He just thinks he's a dishwasher. He was in some battle and got hurt really bad and I guess has amnesia or whatever. And this guy that owns a restaurant or whatever just kind of takes him in, but he's not really a nice guy. He just kind of, you know, takes advantage of the situation and uses them to say, you know, hey, I saved you. You owe me all this stuff. So that was kind of neat to see them see a clone kind of outside of the ranks of the Republic. And then later on, they tell him that, you know, you are a clone of the Republic Army and blah, blah, blah. And he kind of helps them escape. That was the only good part of that whole series of episodes that I watched. There were some, of course, any of the Jar Jar episodes were terrible. Every season had, you know, several episodes that were just terrible.
Wait, why was that, do you think?
I think it's, you know, they were trying to, whenever they were trying to be too cute or too funny with it, it just became pretty, I don't know, cheesy or whatever. And you, like that one, that series, I really liked all the different droids and R2-D2 being involved in it, but their quote-unquote commanding officer was just this really prideful guy that really didn't know what he was doing and stuff, and it was just really playing it up for the kids, it kind of seemed like, on that one. So, and then, the Jar Jar ones, you know, he always succeeds at what needs to happen, but he's always does it in a, you know, clownish, accidental, oops kind of way. So that gets kind of annoying, of course, as we know from the prequels. But
well, see, it seems like that would be really difficult to maintain a balance, because it's an animated show, it's on Cartoon Network, it's ostensibly for kids, because we as Americans think that cartoons mean it has to be for a kid, but there's going to be a lot of fans of the shows, of the movies that are going to watch this with their kids, and you have to entertain them. And then there's the fat fanboys like me who are just like, no, we need beheadings. I want to see 1,000 Jedis die. And you want to give them something, some reason to keep coming, because they're the ones that are going to buy the figures and they're going to debate endlessly on the internet about, you know, the minutiae of the show. And so were there adult-ish dark episodes to counterbalance those really silly slapsticky Jar Jar types?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, a lot of the stuff with Ventress and Savage Opress and a lot of those were pretty dark, pretty serious adult type stuff, I thought. And just, you know, some of the battles, you know, were pretty vicious. You know, they never went too far, you know, blood splurting and things like that. But you were talking about the clones. There was a really good series, I can't remember what season it was in, where there was this troop of clones. Well, it had the five clones that I was talking about, but it had a lot of other ones in there as well. And of course they're being led by Anakin Skywalker, but then this other Republic commander comes in, and he's the same species as the I can't remember his name. Who's the guy that Obi-Wan goes to see in the diner with the four arms?
Dexter Jexter.
He's the same species as Dexter Jexter or whatever.
Depends on what, Dex.
That's right. But he's a general, And he takes over for Anakin while Anakin goes to help Obi-Wan on something. And you're kind of expecting it to go to follow Anakin, but it stays on this planet where they're attacking, and it's all about these clones. And he's a really unconventional type of general, has him do a lot of strange things, very strict. And you could tell he has no care and a lot of disdain for all of the clones. He won't call them by their names or their designations. He calls them by their code number kind of thing. Just really kind of a hard-nosed general. And so there's several episodes where they're going into these battle situations and trying to get objectives, and he keeps doing these things that holds them back, or and they know that they should be doing something else, but they're trying to be good soldiers and good clones and follow the general, even though they know he's not making the right decisions and kind of thing. So that turned out really good, and you kind of got to see the war through the eyes of the clones, or them trying to fight this battle. Things like that's interesting. I enjoyed that part of the series.
And you watched it with your children, or you watched it by yourself?
I started to watch it with the kids. It was before, actually, I guess I did start watching it before it came out on the Netflix Instant Watch, because I was getting the DVDs from Netflix. And I started watching it with the kids, and then they'd have these little featurettes afterwards saying talking about the making of the episode and what went into it and stuff. And they were enjoying that. But after a while, I wanted to watch more of it when the, and they wanted to watch something else, or they were busy. And so I just kind of started watching them on my own and telling the kids, oh, you can watch, catch up and watch when you want to. And sometimes I'd be watching the episodes and they'd come down and sit down and say, oh, what's going on? So I'd tell them what was going on. They'd watch a few with me, and then they'd go off, and I'd, another day I'd be watching and they weren't interested or whatever. So I tried to watch it with them, but I ended up watching most of it alone. And they'll go back and watch other episodes too, but
When you were watching it with the children, did you enjoy it more than they did, or did they enjoy it more than you did?
well, I guess it depended on the episode. Like they thought the Jar Jar episodes were funny, and I didn't. they'd be, oh, that's funny. I'm like, no, it's not. But and they'd enjoy it. I guess I probably understood more of what was going on, and they'd ask questions, and I taught and I explained to it, and that was kind of fun to see what they were interested in and what they liked.
When you got to the end, were you disappointed? Did you start to dread knowing that, oh, there's only six more episodes left, there's only three more episodes left? Was it one of those shows?
No, not really. I mean, I guess if I had been watching as they were coming out, and I got to the end of season five, and that was going to be it, then I would have been really, I can understand the kind of the discouragement and outrage of the people that were watching it at that time, because it was really, really good up to that point. The last season, I guess, because I knew it was the last and I kind of knew some of the history, I knew they were trying to wrap it up and to close some loops and things like that. I at the end I was just kind of interested to see what they would do, and finished up watching it and thought, oh, well, that was they did a pretty good job with what they could do there.
Well, okay, so would you say season five was the high point of the show then? It was the best season?
I think so. Every season had some really good series in there, but they were hitting pretty top of their mark in season five. They had a lot of cool things with Mandalore, and
Is that where Boba Fett is from?
that's where Boba Fett is from, where that armor comes from. And there was actually a kind of the politics of that is that, it was a planet of peace, but there was the old military people that were on a nearby planet. They didn't agree with the current peaceful, neutral status of the planet. And so they would cause trouble, and they all wore the Mandalorian army or armor. And I think they called themselves, I want to say Night Watch. That sounds a little cheesy, but I think that's what it was.
No, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it was like Night Watch or something like that. And Obi-Wan was kind of sweet on, and there was a history between him and the Duchess of Mandalore. And so that was kind of neat to see.
Oh, they gave Obi-Wan a love interest?
They did, yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. They didn't show a lot of that. You know, they talked about some of their history and knew that he had, at one point, was on the verge of making a choice between the Jedi Order or, you know, going away with her kind of thing. And he chose the Jedi Order. But there was still that love for her and that old burning flame kind of thing. So that was pretty interesting to see.
Well, okay, of all the characters from the prequels, who did you grow to like the most because of this show? And were there any characters that you actually liked less after watching the show?
From the so they would have had to be from the prequel, in the prequel movies, right?
Well, I doesn't almost everybody who was in the prequels show up on the show at some point?
Yeah, they do, except for the guy that Big was talking about with the long neck, the Jedi guy with the long neck. He never showed up.
Really? Oh, he must have bit the dust before the Clone Wars even started.
I guess Plo Koon, I guess. He's the one of the Jedi Masters. He wears kind of the mask over his face. He wasn't in a lot of episodes, but I always thought he was pretty cool. He kind of had his own code of honor kind of thing, and that was kind of neat. I didn't really care for Padme in the
Clone Wars. Well, did Padme have a lot to do? At this point, she and Anakin are married, but it's in secret, right?
Right.
And does she go off and have her own adventures, or is it mostly just every once in a while Anakin comes back to Coruscant and there she is?
There's a lot of that where he comes back, but then they have some political episodes and shows where she's being an ambassador somewhere and, you know, gets involved in some kind of an intrigue kind of thing. I think it was in season 6, there was a series of episodes. I guess early on in the series, they had developed a character that she used to be close with and ended up being kind of a bad character. And of course, you know, Anakin was super jealous of that and didn't trust them together and that kind of thing. And in the last season, he convinced her to help him in another endeavor with the banking. There was something going on with the banking clan. And so she went there, and there was people trying to kill her, some bounty hunters or stuff after there. So she got involved in some stuff like that. And there was some good scenes with her and Anakin, you know, where they were talking about their relationship and that it was wrong and that kind of thing. But for the most part, yeah, she really didn't have much to do. And I really didn't like the animation of her. She looked really strange to me, especially in the early seasons. She just looked really strange and didn't really care for her too much.
Well, I know that Anthony Daniels voices 3PO, and it seems like a couple of those guys, like Christopher Lee voices Dooku at first and all that. But the people that are new voices, did they try and sound like Samuel L. Jackson or, you know, Frank Oz or any of those guys, or did they just, do we have new voices and you're like, well, that's what Ki-Adi Mundi sounds like on the show?
Yeah, I think they did a pretty good job with that for the most part. I mean, you can tell that Mace Windu isn't Samuel L. Jackson, but they, you know, the guy that did it, you know, still kind of had that voice going for it. I think they might have had Jimmy Smits come back because his character was on there a few times.
Oh, that's cool. I always thought Bail Organa would have been an interesting character. I mean, he doesn't have a heck of a lot to do in those two movies that he's in, but I like Jimmy Smits. And
yeah, so he was in there a few times. Yeah, I think they did a pretty good. Yoda sounded pretty good. Anthony Daniels was good as C-3PO. Jar Jar sounded like Jar Jar.
Well, I think Jar Jar is still voiced by Ahmed Best, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think I saw that in there. Which he was pretty much a cartoon character to begin with, I guess. But, you know, I would say it's worth watching. You know, I could come up with, like, what I wanted to do for this episode was to tell you which episodes were the best out of season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. But, you know, I can definitely give you suggestions if you say, well, what's a really cool series to watch or something, I could tell you. But all in all, I thought it was pretty good.
Well, are they mostly self-contained, or is it sort of a serial and you kind of have to watch all of them in a row? Otherwise, you'd be like, oh, wait, what's going on?
Sometimes they'll do like a two-parter. More often, they'll do like a four-episode arc kind of thing. Or, you know, then they'll have standalone episodes too. I guess season to season, you probably wouldn't have to know, you know, have to watch season one to understand season two. Those kind of, I mean, it does kind of progress chronologically. However, there are a few weird variations in that. Like there was a season one cliffhanger with Cad Bane, and Zero the Hutt was involved as well. And then that just kind of stood, you know, I thought that stood alone. But then all the way down in like season three or something, there was a couple episodes that were like before and after that one, which was really kind of strange. But yeah, for the most part, you know, you could watch a series of episodes or a standalone episode, and they do a good job of previously, they don't say previously, but they kind of show highlights of what has happened to keep you up on what you need to know to watch that episode. They kind of have an announcer guy at the beginning of every episode saying, explaining what's going on.
What was your absolute favorite episode, man? Did you have one that you're just like, okay, that is it. Wow. If you only could watch one, if you were dying, which one would you recommend? Was there one that you felt was head and shoulders above the others, or one that spoke to you in a way that the others did not?
Yeah, there was a episode in season 5 called The Lawless. And this kind of encapsulates everything that was really cool about the series. I don't think it even has Anakin in it, but in this one, this is on Mandalore, and it's with Obi-Wan and Duchess Satine or whatever in Mandalore. So it's got those guys in it, and Death Watch is actually the name of that Mandalorian group anyway, but they've aligned with Darth Maul and Savage. And of course, Darth Maul wants his revenge against Obi-Wan, so he sets this up. And so it has that going on, and then that's the same episode where I was talking about, where Emperor Palpatine comes to fight Darth Maul and Savage. So there's a lot of action in that one, a lot of really, really good animation, and a lot of really good elements coming together in that one episode. So if you're only going to watch one, that's the one I'd point you to. And that was episode 16 in season 5.
So altogether, how many episodes were there of the whole series?
Well, good question. Let's see. 121 episodes altogether.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah, it's quite a few. Yeah, most of the episodes had 22, or most of the seasons had 22 episodes. Season 5 only had 20, and season 6 had 13. So, well, I think that'll probably do it this time. If anybody else would like to comment on Clone Wars or agree or disagree with me on what I had to say about it, you can look us up on Facebook or Twitter. We also have a forum section, which not too many people are hip on forums anymore, but you can go to the forums on swdelusionsofgrandeur.freeforums.org to get on the forum and talk about this episode or any of the other ones that we've had.
Shoot, man, I don't think I've ever gone to that forum. Have I?
I think you were on there once. I think you might have commented on something.
Oh, okay.
But maybe not.
I'll have to head over there and talk about my favorite episodes of the show I only watched one episode of.
There you go. So other than that, I guess I'll sign off. This is Marshall Latham, Docking Bay 94.
Okay, well, I will sign off too, unless you want me just to talk by myself. I am used to it.
Yeah, you keep going, Rish. You can talk about the Clone Wars movies, whatever that one was, but the Japanese animation one.
Oh, are there such things?
Before these Clone Wars cartoon, there was another one.
The very short ones.
The very short.
More traditional animated ones.
Yes.
Now, do you think that those it coexist with these, or do these sort of replace those?
I think these replace those, but I'm not quite sure how that works out.
Yeah, I'm not either. But anyway, somebody out there knows.
Yep, let us know. Let us know.
Okay, what docking bay was that again?
Docking bay 94.
94, okay. Everybody have a good rest of your new year.
Chewie, get us out of here.
The Delusions of Grandeur podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. This means you can share it with anyone, but do not change it or sell it. Many Bothans died to bring us this information.